This early spring 2020, when the country signed up for unemployment benefits. I'm David Brancaccio. Over the week that ended Saturday, 6.6 million people signed up for state unemployment benefits as need skyrocketed and the federal government expanded eligibility. This is double last week's figure, which itself was way beyond the previous record set during the Great Depression. Let's turn to Diane Swonk, chief economist at Grant Thornton. Hi there.
Good morning.
And that's just this last week that ended on Saturday.
Exactly. It's really important to understand that just by these numbers, over 10 million people have applied for their initial applications for unemployment insurance since the start of March. It's stunning. It's more than we've ever seen. It's a gut punch. And we know that those numbers are undercounting the total because not only are the state systems overwhelmed, they've never had to deal with such large numbers before, but also they haven't been able to reconfigure yet to deal with the changes in the laws that we're seeing out there to include furloughed workers, gig workers, self-employed that were previously not able to apply for unemployment insurance.
Economist Diane Swonk in Chicago. Markets, the Dow is down 131.6%. The NASDAQ is down 0.3%. There's talk of a truce in the Saudi-Russia oil price war, with crude oil up 7.8% in New York. Oil, spare parts, finished products often come by sea. And consider the 100,000 crew members stuck on the high seas during this pandemic. Many ports are no longer letting these crews get off their ships. The bosses of shipping organizations met last night on this. My Marketplace colleague, the BBC's Victoria Craig, is in London. Did they strike some sort of balance last night between health and the security of supply chains?
The short answer is no, and that's because there are a lot of stakeholders in this. Typically, crews spend about 3 months on the ship, 3 months off, but coronavirus has shut down ports of entry and made governments very cautious about who comes in and out of the countries to avoid further spread of COVID-19. So you need agreement from all of these organizations in order to make these crew shift changes work. And that means that the ease of getting on and off a ship and traveling home is now not nearly as easy as it was before. So crews are getting stuck aboard their ships because there isn't a system in place to make sure there's a secure way for them to travel.
And for the stuck crews on these ships, it's not like you can just ask them to work a longer shift, right?
Exactly. No, it's not that easy because they're on the ship for months at a time. And like anyone else, they need a break from their work environment. Captain Rajesh Uni, who is a boss of Synergy Marine Group, which supplies crews for commercial ships in Singapore, told me this morning this is really becoming a mental health issue, too.
So it's not fair to compare quarantining people for 3 weeks at home in an office environment to another 2 months on the ships.
And travel restrictions also mean that there are issues getting fresh food and medical supplies on board these ships, and all of that also impacts morale.
Victoria in London, thanks. After criticism, the Trump administration will no longer force Social Security recipients to file short tax returns to get their emergency coronavirus money. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer.
The Treasury Department now says Social Security beneficiaries who aren't typically required to file tax returns will get their $1,200 stimulus payments automatically. Initially, Treasury was going to require them to file what the IRS called a simple tax return to get the money. Treasury made the change after some members of Congress and advocates for the elderly said it would be especially difficult for seniors to file a special return right now. For taxpayers not on Social Security, you don't have to do anything to get your payment if the IRS already has your direct deposit information. If it doesn't, or your bank details changed, the IRS is developing what it calls a web-based portal where you can upload your bank information. The payments do phase out after certain income limits, and if your adjusted gross income is over $99,000 for an individual or $198,000 for married couples, you don't get anything. I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
As part of Marketplace's Econ Extra Credit Project, where we revisit basic economics, the chapter from the free economics textbook this week is all about borrowing. And out in the real world, some economists are pushing governments to go further to give people longer grace periods on debt, given the pandemic. Nobel Prize-winning economist Joseph Stiglitz is a professor at Columbia. Thank you for joining us.
Nice to be here.
So if and when there's a new round of help from Washington to prop up the COVID economy here, you believe it needs to get at something that was largely missing from this last round of intervention? Debt. What should we do about debt?
Well, there was a little done about federal student debt, about federally insured mortgages, but there was nothing done about the massive amount of debt, for instance, the credit card debt, some of which charges usurious interest rates. Nothing was done about the debt of cars. And there was nothing done about mortgages that are not federally insured, including small business mortgages.
And how would it work in terms of the debt? Put off what is owed, or the government covers what is owed, or maybe lenders just eat the losses?
What we need right now is a stay to make sure that people can pay by postponing it until the economy is running again. And for those businesses that are getting so much help from the government, part of that should be used to help the debtors who otherwise will sink under a mountain of debt.
Would you say there are economics lessons here about what the market can and cannot do in preparing us for an emergency like this, and what the market can and cannot do in responding to an emergency?
We've run our economy in a very taut way. We've prided ourselves on the efficiency, but we were very short-sighted. Example, many car companies don't provide spare tires anymore. They say, well, you don't need a spare tire very often.
That's right.
Well, you don't need it very often, but when you need it desperately. And we've run our economy very much along that way. We were proud that we had no extra beds in the hospital. Every bed was used. But now that we have a crisis, we're paying a very high price for not having that extra capacity.
Nobel laureate Joseph Stiglitz, his book Power, People, and Profits, Progressive Capitalism for an Age of Discontent, comes out in paperback in the coming weeks. He was chair of the Council of Economic Advisors under President Clinton and was chief economist at the World Bank. Dr. Stiglitz, thank you.
Well, thank you.
Stiglitz is also joined with other experts in calling for a massive program of emergency aid to low-income countries to help them fight the virus. The director's cut of that is on our website for more. We also talked to an economist who wants all the debt wiped out, clean slate in America. Join us for Econ Extra Credit. Sign up at marketplace.org. We are from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.